I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hey, boys.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are live here. A little playoff baseball that Tyler's not going to watch. One game in the books already. The Tigers, they win game one in the three-game series on the road, 2-1. The Cy Young Award winner, potentially. Probably going to win it for the second straight year. We'll see. Hunter Brown may have something to say about that. Oh, Tarik Skubal had him a big game. 7 2/3, 14 strikeouts, and they won 2-1. And Kyle Tucker and the Cubs are playing right now. They trail 1-0 against the Padres as full force the MLB playoffs are going. All right, yesterday... at the coaches show, as I said, boy, you got to listen to it every single Monday after Sunday's game. We get out here at 5 o'clock because D'Amico Ryans of the coaches show takes over. He was talking about the offense and the offensive identity that hopefully they showed and can continue moving forward in the fourth quarter in the game on Sunday. Here was D'Amico.
Very close to what we want to do offensively. I think that's where you see CJ was able to get the ball out quicker. I think that's where he operates best. When the ball is out, it's on time. Receivers, just get the ball in their hands and let's see them create in space. Right? And those are the plays I think we have to lean into more. Run the ball, get the ball out quicker. I think that's a formula for us playing winning football as a team. Like, let's play good defense. Offense, let's sustain drives by getting completions, running the football, wearing teams out, like getting into some tempo. That worked well for us as well. We got in a couple tempo plays. We were able to convert, get 5 yards here on a pass. Get a third and one conversion. It's because we kind of wore the team out. And I think if we continue to lean in on that, the thing also that showed up is CJ made great decisions all day, right? Whether it was run alerts, pass alerts, he made great decisions, went to the right spot with the football a lot of times, made a lot of big plays for us, and he still has room to grow and get better. But from what we saw on Sunday, I think that's a good launch point for where we can continue to move forward.
All right, Clint, before we kind of get into the conversation here, from what you've watched Sunday and on film, is that what you saw as well? Do you agree with the assessment of the offense he gave?
Absolutely, 100%. I agree that that's what this offense is striving to look like versus all opponents, not just the bad ones. I agree that C.J. Stroud, the version of quarterback that he played, is the best version of C.J. Stroud. It's when he's at his best, and ultimately, those two are going to have to grow together. And the more often they can do what we watch Sunday, the more often they're going to be in games, and the more often they're going to win games. And with this defense, you don't have to be great. you know, with this defense, it doesn't have to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we do need to see signs of it moving forward as we play better opponents and see a level of commitment. I've been saying it for years since his rookie year. Like, this is the best version of C.J. Stroud. I know folks get tired of the dead horse that I beat all the damn time, but working low to high, the quicks, the screen game, all that stuff protects the offensive line, protects the quarterback, keeps you ahead of the chains. In this instance, protects the offensive play caller that's never done it before. And so, yeah, hell yeah, I agree with everything D'Amico just said.
And I think to me, when I watch, it really looks like the fourth quarter is when it really came together. And we saw a lot of production. I think we were seeing some of it, you know, the first, you know, three quarters. But the fourth quarter, yeah, obviously, is where the Texans separated. And I kind of think this is where I want to go with the conversation. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch can jump in. As someone just texted in, come on, we were horrible going into the fourth quarter. I would say the tail end of that drive was happening at the end of the third quarter, but I get your point. They didn't. It was 6-0 going into the fourth quarter. And I would ask you all this. Fourth quarter is what we saw. Outscored the Titans 20-0. Stingley got the interception as well, turned that into points. Stroud had two passing touchdowns. The one where we heard him talk about, he checked into the play. You spoke about it earlier on the tape drop. Woody Marks had both of his touchdowns in that period. Got chunk plays from Woody Marks, chunk plays from Higgins. Was that fourth quarter enough to make you believe that the Texans can get this thing right, and that seeing that offense in the fourth quarter, that they can make a run to the playoffs?
The arrow's pointed up.
Because going into that, Clint, they were 0-3, 6-0 with the Titans, and then they exploded and looked like a different team. Now the way this thing is shaking out, is that fourth quarter enough to make you believe that they can make a run to the playoffs?
Believe? No. No, I don't. I mean, I think it's still up to, are you the best team in this division right now? I mean, you got the Indianapolis Colts team that's over there scoring 30 at will with Daniel Jones. And so, it wasn't enough. I mean, it was a step in the right direction for me, Ron, to have a little bit of faith that this thing has a chance to take, and CJ is at least going to give it a chance and play that brand of quarterback, and Nick Caley can draw some things up. And you know, it was good to see that some of that is in there. But if we discuss it in the context of does Sunday's fourth quarter give you hope, or give you confidence that this is a playoff caliber team and they can meet or exceed what they did the last 2 years? No, absolutely not. It was the Titans. They're terrible.
Because we know, even though it's the Titans, we know defensively, you know, we've watched the Rams this year, and then we watched them play the Texans. And the Texans handled the Rams, right? 14 points. And we've watched them, right? We've watched the Bucs. And, the Bucs went crazy in the second half against the Eagles, another team that is thought to be a good team. So we feel like we know what they're going to do defensively. And special teams-wise, you feel pretty good about what they're going to do. It is really the offense. And Cornbread here on YouTube says, if we can do what we did in the fourth quarter, then there is hope. I think they did find something. Now, I know it's the Titans, and I agree with you, and I think there is something that you had to give to that. But I do believe they at least found something, right? I think that's the quarter where it was like, man, Woody Marks looks good, but then Clint, bam, he made big-time plays in that fourth quarter. It's like, all right, man, maybe we found something there. Higgins getting separation like that. CJ, maybe the light going off there with controlling things and switching into that play, chunk play right there. Maybe they found something. I know it's the Titans, and yes, we've got a little bit more because I feel like we're going to be singing the same song if the offense has another good day against the depleted Baltimore Ravens defense. But I don't know. To me, when I look at the AFC, it gets funky, right? Like, yeah, the Jags and the Colts in your division are playing pretty well, but you know the Broncos are the Broncos and Chiefs are 2-2, and they're all right. The East is just, I mean, the Patriots, we'll see. I feel like you may be in that lane to where you got to find seven playoff teams. If they found something like that offensively, and maybe it's not 20 points in a quarter, but maybe it's more than the 12 that they were putting out before where they could win. Because that fourth quarter, they would have more wins if they played that offense the way they did in that fourth quarter. So I do believe there is, I'm with you, Cornbread, at least some hope there.
I can't view it through the lens of wins and playoffs. I can't. It didn't move the needle that much for me. I choose to view it through the product of Texans offensive football. And I was in a world of hurt, in a really bad place, and to be honest with you, had next to zero confidence going into last week's game. And really going into last week's fourth quarter as I'm sitting
in the press box. You weren't probably too great either.
Yeah, so this gives me hope that some of the players and some of the coaches that we have analyzed so closely, and I think rightfully so, justifiably so, have a severely low amount of confidence in their ability to do their job at a high level. I will agree that the needle was moved significantly on Sunday. Just the overall product that was the – like, I was at a point where I was like, hey, man, Nick Caley might get his ass fired by midseason. I mean, I don't know if D'Amico's going to sit around and watch another offense just, you know, another year go by where your offense is the reason you can't.
Well, hell, he gave up play calling defensively.
His defense right now is setting records, and you're 1-3. Like, I don't know how D'Amico is going to sit and watch this. What I saw this past Sunday and when I watched the film, I could see where D'Amico sits in his office and goes, yeah, it's just be patient. It's coming. Then first 3 weeks, there's a reason why he gave up play calling and decided he was going to put his eyes and all of his attention on the offense. But that Sunday film, I think there's a little bit of hope there, yeah.
Yeah, text line coming in. Real question, was it enough to make CJ believe? He's been walking around looking doom and gloom with no confidence. Was the fourth quarter enough to give him his confidence? I think that is actually a fair thought. Did that lift his confidence? Because there's been a level of indecisiveness with him on the field in his play and throws that, you know, we've seen here lately that wasn't the case when he first arrived here.
It's not easy.
And he looks like he has lost some of his confidence. It did. And hopefully that fourth quarter to say, bam, I switched out of a play and I got a touchdown out of it. We heard D'Amico say in the coach's show how gratifying – that is, as a player, when you look at something, you see it, and then it turns into what it did. So I do think that is another piece of it. Does he come into the Baltimore game after that fourth quarter saying, all right, starting to feel this thing, starting to get this and understanding this offense, the guys around it, and he plays with much more confidence moving forward? I think that goes into it, too, because you're right. The lead guy has not looked very confident in – maybe not only himself, but also not confident in what's going on around him, and even it appears at times maybe the off.
Well, I think that's precisely why this game was needed. Like, forget the opponent. We know the opponent was garbage, but the quarterback, as I've said a million times, I think any player that produces points, any game where they record points, any like to see points go up on the scoreboard at the end of a drive, whether it's touchdowns or field goals, is a very rewarding thing. It is momentum, confidence, trust. It builds it all, man. And so any way you can get that, I think is absolutely huge. And CJ's only human. He would not be, if he weren't frustrated mightily after week three at sitting at 0-3, then something would have been wrong with CJ. Now, when you look how this game went, like, this is a great teaching tape for CJ Stroud. If C.J. Stroud, which I firmly believe that C.J. Stroud wasn't bought in, like wasn't wholeheartedly 100% bought into playing the boring brand of football and checking the ball down and getting the ball out quick. And I don't know that C.J. Stroud was a believer that he was part of the problem why he's getting sacked and getting his head knocked off as much as anybody in the league. Now you watch that game.
He played it.
You watch that game and you played the way that they want you to play, and you're not nearly as sore after the game. You didn't run for your life. You kept control of the game all the time. And you had a little bit of fun at the end of the party. I mean, if CJ doesn't learn from this, if CJ doesn't doesn't gain confidence in Kaylee and the system from this, then I don't know if he ever is. Now, I don't know if it lasts or not. We'll see if it lasts in Baltimore. But that's exactly, as a quarterback, that's what you go out looking for. Right? When you check the ball down like that, you're checking it down for a reason, and you're very aware of those reasons.
And you're not throwing interceptions into double coverage.
Right, and you're not holding the ball, and you're not hoping you see coverage. Maybe you see coverage. You're not trying to fit balls constantly in tight windows.
I think they beat Jacksonville with that mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they probably beat L.A. with that mindset.
Text line coming through, not going to lie. Starting the fourth quarter, I was thinking 0-5, but a busted-up Ravens team has me hopeful for 2-3. Text line also, I know y'all don't think we believe any of that S. Honcho, Tennessee brother, y'all sound corny. Come on.
Damn, we were hoping you'd buy it. We were completely just making all that up, all our opinions.
I would just say to you, I think it's very similar to what happened with the Chiefs 2 weeks ago. The Chiefs played a sorry Giants team and had an awful first half, but their offense has just been struggling like hell. They came out in the second half and had four straight drives where they found a rhythm. They played better. They felt better coming out of that, offensively coming out of that game. And then they went and put 37 on the Ravens the next week. Obviously, they got help. But they talked about that second half helping them get into a better place, filling in a better place that they ran some good offense, even though they did it against a sorry team, just like the Texans just did. And potentially, you've got to feel better about the fact that, hey, we looked better, and we put up 20 in the second half against the team. Hell, they allowed 20 to the Broncos in a full game. So, I mean, I think you can get help even though the Titans are sorry.
Well, look, I'm not – there's nothing to believe or not to believe. I told you from jump, I don't believe – it doesn't move the needle for me relative to the Texans being more dangerous or less. It didn't move the needle one bit. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm just telling you what I saw on film, and it was significantly better. You can decide if it transitions or not. I think your ass is silly, and you need to work on your listening skills.
Corny,
silly, whatever. Yeah, I mean, nobody's trying to sell anything to you. I'm just telling you what I saw on film, and whether it transitions or not, we'll see. Whether the offense takes off or not, we shall see. But the initial point made was beating the Tennessee Titans doesn't do much relative to whether you can compete with playoff teams and the best teams in the AFC and the NFC. So
the whole point,
appreciate you joining in, but damn.
Yeah, the whole point was the fourth quarter offensively. Did it?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Was it enough to make you believe? And obviously for you it didn't. We'll see. To me, I think there was some hope to see what they did in their fourth quarter to go 20 points in a quarter. Coming up, a little real or fake. I make a statement. You let me know if it's real, fake, I guess, or corny. Whichever way you want to go. That's coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
Is this real?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, let's do a little real or fake. I make a statement. You let me know if this statement is real or fake. Clint, the Texans' two best linebackers are Azeez Alshire and EJ Speed. Real or fake?
Ooh, I'll go with real. I will go with real. I mean, I think EJ Speed, he was in tops in the league last year in tackles. When you talk about speed sideline to sideline, when you talk about wingspan, when you talk about size, when he just brings a little something different to that linebacker position. And Azeez is obviously the number one, being the communicator, being the Mike linebacker, being the leader. So it really boils down to, the question is EJ Speed or Henry Toa Toa. And I like Henry. I think Henry's been really good. But EJ Speed, I do think, is a step up. So I think it's real, Ron.
Yeah, I still don't know what happened with Christian Harris. I don't know what's happened there. Clearly, he's not playing to the level that he played a couple of years ago before the injury. Maybe that has something to do with it. But right now, here of late, I think Henry Toa Toa is still a really good player. But you can see the difference in speed with EJ. You know, he is aggressive, tall, and he is showing up, you know, in the hole in a whole different level. So,
Ron, I don't think that D'Amico or anybody over there is just, hey man, let me set my second best linebacker, my starting linebacker on the bench, and just get EJ Speed some reps. I don't think he's saying let me sit Lakin Tomlinson on the bench and get my second string guard and Juice Scruggs some reps. Like, I think there's a reason behind that, and I think that reason is there's probably a higher ceiling with this player than that player, and you got to get him involved to some degree. And it's not because the other guys are playing so terribly bad that you can't win with them. It's because that the player that's replacing them is got a higher ceiling, and so. I think it's a tight race. You mentioned Christian Harris. I think it's a tight race with all four of them. But if I had to put two out there right now, I believe I'd be A-OK with EJ Speed and Azeez Alshire.
Yeah, they are pretty strong. It seems like they're kind of separate themselves. Tyler, are the Bills and Chargers the best teams in the AFC? Real or fake? Ooh. The Bills and Chargers, they're the two best teams in the AFC.
I'm saying fake. Right now, today, I mean, very much so, maybe. But I like you were laying out earlier, Ron, in the first hour of the show, I'm starting to wonder who's actually good in this football season and who's not. And I think we're going to find out very soon over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to say fake. Last week, I would have thought so, but... Chargers, they're losing their other tackle. They had already lost Slater. They're losing now Alt with a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out several weeks. And I don't know that I trust Justin Herbert quite yet with that. But they have beaten the Chiefs, so I can understand potentially them being ahead of them. Do I trust Daniel Jones? I'm not sure. I feel like you could put Buffalo up there. It's something about the Chargers that I just don't trust, but I'm not sure who else you would put up there behind him right now. So, hell, maybe I just talked myself into saying it's real.
Well, if it weren't for the injuries, I think it'd be absolutely real. I mean, you got Buffalo and the Chargers, are the top two right now, with Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville, the other 3-1 teams, along with the Chargers. I don't know that I'd put any of those teams above them. But with the injuries, boy, it really puts you in a position where you got to consider the Kansas City Chiefs at 2-2. You got to consider maybe the Broncos at 2-2 making a run there. With the injuries in Baltimore, it's another one. They're 1-3 already. They've dug a hole and they've got a bunch of injuries, so they're not in the mix right now. So yeah, I would probably put. Boy, this is painful to say. I didn't realize it was this close. I would probably, with the injuries in Los Angeles, I would probably put the Colts ahead of them. I'd probably put the Steelers ahead of them.
I'd put
the Chiefs ahead of them.
Yeah. So maybe right now, and then again, also, as someone texted in, who the hell's Buffalo played besides Baltimore, right? They play Baltimore, the Jets, Dolphins, and Saints. Two of those teams don't have a win, and the other one has won because they played the other team that didn't have a win.
Yeah, they're beating the way they're supposed to. 41-30, 31-31. That's what they've scored. I mean, they're averaging about 36, 37. Patriots next. Okay. 2-2 Patriots
at
team.
At home? Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And they go Patriots, Falcons, Panthers before they see the Chiefs. And then they got the Dolphins after that.
How'd they get that schedule? Ooh-wee. That's a first-place schedule.
Well, it's got to be back. It's got to be backloaded in a major way.
Does it? I know the Bucks and the Eagles are out there for them.
They
I
got
think.
The Bucks, the Eagles, the Bengals, the Steelers.
The Steelers, maybe. The Bengals are different. Like, but still, like, I mean, you look at what the Ravens did. They played the Lions, the Chiefs, and the Bills in the first four
games, yeah.
And now they got the Texans and the Rams after that. Yeah, that is their schedule is almost confusing to me. All right, Clint, Penn State, real or fake? Penn State has to beat Ohio State to get into the college football playoff.
Oh, fake.
It should be
10-2 with losses to two top five teams. Being Penn State, blue blood, there he is.
And a win over Indiana?
They'd have to beat Indiana. Nebraska. They'd have to beat Iowa. Their schedule is
a joke, man.
Is a joke, but it's Penn State. 10-2, a 10-2 Penn State team that I believe wouldn't, at that point, if they lost those two games, would not play in the conference championship game. I think they get in.
I'm going to say fake. And the reason why I'm going to say fake is your boy, Rhett Lashley, SMU. I think they gave us some proof last year that they won't necessarily always just put in the blue blood to get in, right? It was between SMU and Alabama, and they picked SMU to get in over Alabama. And Penn State's been notorious for doing this. They haven't been playing teams in the non-con that could give them any problems. And the Big Ten, although it's gotten tougher, they've still been able to avoid not having to play, a lot of the best teams. If they lose to Oregon and lose to Ohio State for a second straight year, and all they do is beat Indiana, and I think there'll be potential other teams, maybe at A&M, maybe at Texas, maybe another Big Ten team that played somebody in the – maybe a Florida State who played – and Alabama and the non-con, I think the committee may look at those teams ahead of a Penn State. I mean, he's lost to 15 straight top 10 teams. I mean, at some point, man, you can't just keep losing and then beat Nebraska and Northwestern and Indiana at home. Like, it's got to... Like, they're going to have to start and not scheduling anybody in the non-con, right? That's the other part. At least, Alabama, at least they scheduled Wisconsin and Florida State
right
in the non-con. Florida State scheduled Alabama in the non-con. All of these teams, Texas is playing Ohio State. Everybody is. They are playing whoever, Penn, the Quakers. I don't even know if they – I just hope they teach them a lesson and put them out. All right, coming up. General manager Dana Brown made some comments about the upcoming season. We'll let you hear what he had to say and discuss coming.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you. Up
next. Bistros ain't loyal.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Dana Brown, the GM, made some statements, according to Brian McTaggart. Want to get to them. I do, like Tyler Clint made the point earlier to that gentleman who called, what did he call us?
Corny?
Cheesy, corny, yeah. Said sometimes you guys don't open up your ears. Someone text in. Like, if you just, the conversation we just had, real or fake about Penn State. Ronnie, you are a Franklin nut rider. I know it hurts you because he's a brother, but he doesn't win S. Again, did you listen to the conversation? Were you, like, at all listening to the conversation?
No, it wasn't.
I mean, there is no way that anyone could come away from me thinking, that guy's a Franklin nut rider right there when he just said that Penn State shouldn't be in the college football playoff if they don't beat Ohio State. I mean, Franklin, that guy's obviously got Franklin nut rider that said, I mean, look at him. I mean, he's lost 15 straight games to opponents in the top 10 in the Big Ten.
I expect insults on the text line every day. That is one I never would have expected.
Like
I think it's worded beautifully. Franklin nut rider.
It almost sounds, he's a brother.
It sounds like a nut rider is a type of bike or something, and Franklin is the manufacturer.
But it's like it's as if that person timed it. Like Franklin, I'm gonna set this text for time. All right, I'm just going to throw this one in. Clint was the one saying, yeah, they're going to get in.
There ain't no doubt.
And I don't even think Clint wasn't even nut right. He's just saying that, yeah, this Penn State is a blue blood, they're going to get in.
Ten and ten.
He was the one that was on the side of him.
He was nut riding. You were nut riding. Everybody was nut riding.
I was Nittany nut riding. No, not Franklin. Not Franklin.
Nittany.
Yeah.
Some good alliteration.
Nittany nut riding.
Nittany nut riding.
I mean, I think James would have told me to shut up if he were in there. I don't think he would have said, thanks, Ron, man. Thanks for sticking up to us.
He'd have said, get off my nuts.
Stop nut riding is what he said. All right.
These nuts.
There you go. Dana Brown, he spoke and said to Brian McTaggart in regards to his contract. Dana Brown said he doesn't want to talk about his contract, but said this. I will tell you, I'm the GM of the Astros, and that's what I expect to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
And listen, I will say this. I think Jim Crane is a fan of his, but this dude would be somebody who would be floored if he got fired.
Oh, yeah.
oozing confidence.
Hey, man, I mean, like I would just say, like, I'm not saying that he needs to be like in, you know, in like whatever the A's GM is or whatever, but I mean, hey man, tread a little lightly here. Like, I mean, those trades that you made didn't quite work out. That Christian Walker move didn't quite work out. Like,
you're sitting at home right now in October.
There, like, this wasn't all just the injuries. Like, there are some things you didn't pull the trigger right now. You're sitting in here and Kyle Tucker is playing right now on TV. Bregman is playing here a little bit later on TV. Like, I mean, I think he's done a good job, and I don't think he's a major problem. But damn, Dana, just a little. I mean, he said, I expect that to be tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. I don't think he's going to get fired, but I mean, this last year he brought in Kikuchi and made a great move there. There's not a Kikuchi move that has been, I just wanted to say that, but there's not been a move like that in this trade deadline. Like, I mean, I don't know, boy.
I think Dana's one of those guys. We've all been around him. You know, one of those guys that is just so dry, so matter of fact that it's almost hard to like him. You know, I think that's what Dana is, and I think when you like even as an Astros fan, like I just take Dana's like the tone and the delivery, even when he's in the booth with the guys and he's letting us in, giving us an update on stuff during a game. Like, it's just so dry. It's so confident and arrogant. Yeah, I mean, all those things. But I think it's just his demeanor is different. And so I think it's probably viewed as it's expected from him, I would imagine, over there, right?
Yeah, no, it is. He also mentioned as their offseason has started, right, and his work gets going, Dana Brown said the club will be in the market to trade. For an arm, to trade for the arm. Obviously, Framber's going to come off the books. There are going to be some things that come off the books, but he said they're in the market for trading an arm. I guess not in free agency, but trade for an arm. And that means several other pitchers around the league are saying, oh, God, please no.
Yeah, what's going on in Houston?
Can I bring my own doctor?
What are we doing in here? What the hell's going on here? Like, we get to trade my arm. But no, it makes sense. I mean, obviously, that's going to be the big thing in the offseason, Clint Tyler, to see how they rebuild. I think both the rotation and the bullpen. I think both of them, especially when you say we're going to take Framber out of it. Obviously, Garcia's going to miss the year. We don't know when Blanco, Wisniewski, who all had Tommy John, how long they're going to be out. Right? Obviously, you can't count on Lance at all. Like, this is – I mean, Blue Ball might be in the starting – rotation right now, depending on moves they make, but that is going to be a big thing. It is weird to me, though, that he's already, hey, we're in trade for it, and not like like that's what we got to do. Like, we got to trade for it. We're not going in free agency potentially to bring in an arm. We're going to trade for it. But
has the offseason even officially begun yet?
Oh, hell like, yeah. His offseason begun a month.
No, I mean, like, and good. I hope he's being proactive, but with, like you're saying, like already jumping to that kind of end mark. Yeah, we're going to trade for this arm.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's just saying we're in the market for anybody. I mean, nobody's off limits. I don't care if they are under contract. We'll go get them.
I like it.
I mean, the question is what is that, you know, what do you have as trade bait? What are you going to move to get it there? I mean, you can argue there's
Cowboys with experience.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a lot of youngsters with experience. I don't know how high up they're going to be on people's prospect board, but they're Yeah, you got some guys you can move. Got some guys you can move. You got some outfielders. You got some.
Proud of you for not taking that bait.
Yeah, you got some injured arms. You got some arms that are all banged up. You do have an additional infielder, starting infielder.
Yeah.
And what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do there?
Yeah, you with do got the Correa, Paredes.
Correa, Paredes, Pena.
That's
my Urias. I mean, what do you?
Urias is in that.
Is Paredes gonna play first base?
Well, no. You got Christian Walker.
Oh, you gonna move
Christian
Walker?
Possibility, though. I like that thought. He's played first in the past.
Move Christian Walker where?
Move him trade out of town. Him. Like in a trade is what I'm saying.
Get rid of that money.
Yeah, gonna take that. Yeah. I guess maybe somebody won't take that.
I mean, he did lead the team in RBIs, didn't he?
Okay. All right. $20 million a year. Let's sell it.
Yeah. Well, you hope for better.
Yeah, we may see.
Ooh, no, my man. Brady's at first, man. Correa at third. That turned me on a little when you said that.
Yeah, but Christian Walker, though.
I know.
Led the team in RBIs. I don't want to give up that.
Every other RBI guy got hurt.
You're lying.
Yeah, you're lying. Yeah. They got options, though, man. They got a hell of a bench.
No one else qualified.
That is.
Got a bunch of left fielders.
But no, Clint, that is a wonder how they're going to handle that. Paredes, all of that together, and who's going to play where?
Absolutely.
Because I mean
you got to think when he's about trading for an arm, it's got to be a starting, you know, top of the rotation caliber
one
arm.
One of those guys,
you got to move somebody
it ain't going to be Urias that's going to bring back the type of arm you think, right? Yeah. Like, it's got to be one of those dudes, right? Ooh, boy, yeah, a lot rolling there with Dana. Dana said the status of Joe Espada. Joe is the manager. And Joe is under contract. You feel good about that for Joe, I think?
It's not ideal.
Joe is the manager and Joe is under contract.
Well, I think he said he would be evaluated. Then when he got to his own contract, he said, no, this is where I expect to be.
Today, tomorrow, welcome the home. Next day, and the next day is what he said, damn it. Okay. All right, go ahead, Dana. Do your thing again. He will not see that Jim Crane. Hey, Dana, come into the office here for me. He would not even see that coming. Would see it coming at all. What you got coming up?
All right, little tape drop Tuesday. The film dropped of Texans Titans that win we got on Sunday. And here's the deal. The Texans offense on Sunday was not just about the fourth quarter, y'all. It was not just about the fourth quarter. I'll explain next.